Hey, Milwaukee, welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Season three, Shelley. Who knew we would be here for season three?
We didn't because we didn't know what we were doing.
But that's all part of dreaming, right? Is just just doing it, just starting.
Yeah.
And then look, a year later, you're in season three. So here we are. And if you are with us, listeners, thank you. We are so grateful you're here with us.
Yeah. And if you've been following along, you know that this season is going to be about dream makers in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Because some of our season two guests introduced us to women who are really people responsible for helping dreams come true. So the lenders, the foundations, the dream nurturers, the really good friends.
The mothers.
The mothers.
I know. I feel like we almost need to do a whole season just on mothers. So many people have mentioned how influential their mother has been, which I love. So yeah, here we are, first episode of season three, and I think we're starting off with a bang.
Oh, man.
We have Wendy Bauman.
AKA the Chief Visionary Officer of Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation, commonly known as WBIC.
And if that sounds familiar, it's because many of our guests from season one and season two went through WBIC, used WBIC either for trainings, classes, resources, loans. So we are really excited to have Wendy with us to talk about not only how she herself got into dream making, but the services and resources that WBIC offers for women who are trying to live their dreams.
Yeah. And specifically people who have a harder time with traditional funding sources, you know, so women of color, low-income folks who might not have access to other capital or support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to take some of their courses. I'm excited to explore the website to see what options are available.
Yeah. And I tell you what, even though I'd gone through a WBIC thing, I didn't really know the reach. I think I just kind of blocked out probably because when I hear the word finances, I'm like, oh God, really? Do we have to do that?
Yes, you do.
But like the whole lending, the whole, and I love what she said, no money, no mission, baby.
Mm-hmm. We hope that this is inspiring to you. We hope that season three is something that gives some ideas, maybe sparks some movement in your own dream, listener. So let's just get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Bauman of WBIC.
Thanks for joining us. WBIC has come up a lot. So we, just a little background, our first season was sort of a fly by the seat of our pants. We don't really know what we're doing. And we just picked people that we thought were doing, you know, kind of remarkable or courageous or creative things in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. We interviewed several awesome people and had a great time. Second season, we actually reached out to a few people that we were too nervous to reach out to first season. And they all said yes.
And they said
so
yes.
We were like, oh my gosh, all these celebrities.
Who were some of them?
Oh, Venus Williams, Caitlin Cullen, Dasha Kelly. So just people that we really admire who felt like just a little too cool to call. And DJ Shauna came on, which was great. And what we decided to do second season was to ask the women that we were interviewing, who do you see in Milwaukee as somebody living their dream, a woman in Milwaukee living their dream? And then we've been following those recommendations.
Nice.
So you actually came up as a person who is making dreams real for people, which happens to be the tagline of WBIC, right? and because WBIC had come up several times in, you know, some of the interviews we had were like Liv Menzia, who started Live a Little Ice Cream, Jesse Canazzaro, who's a Milestone Plumbing, Ashley Valentine, who started Rooted MKE, the bookstore on Vliet. I think Emerald Mills from Turning Tables and Diverse Dining. I believe she said something. And then I myself have actually gone through a WBIC seminar. I can't for the life of me remember what the name was, but it was basically like the Entrepreneurship 101.
Nice. An entrepreneur, what's in a business plan? Yeah, depending. We've called it different thing.
Yeah. And so we are focusing our season three, and you will likely be a guest on season three for people who are making dreams happen.
Okay.
People who are supporting the dreams of others.
Right.
And dream makers or dream nurturers in the city.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like also that you embrace a little bit of a theme. I'm always really big with themes. It just helps, or a philosophy. It helps frame it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're sort of hoping to do with, I mean, from the get-go, from day one with this podcast, was not only to highlight the women in Milwaukee who are living their dreams, right, and to just sing their praises and get them attention and publicity, but also to hopefully inspire our listeners who might be sitting on dreams, who are like, oh, I couldn't ever do something like that. That's too hard. I don't know how to do that. Oh. Just to show them that it's possible, and that B, there are the resources in Milwaukee and the support in Milwaukee to do that. And so we're hoping that this podcast inspires other dreams that we may never hear about, right? But, you know, we may never know what strikes a chord with somebody, but, you know, just hoping that listeners take inspiration from this and maybe act on their own dreams, or realize one of the lessons I think from season one, well, all everyone so far, is that dreams happen in baby steps. You know, it looks like when you see somebody who's lived a dream, like say Ashley, who opened the bookstore, like that just sounds like, I could never open a bookstore. How the heck do you open a bookstore, right? But like, well, first you start writing in your journal about what you want to do, and then you talk to somebody about it, and then you research, you know, and it's like step by step by step. So like hoping that this podcast also breaks down or shows people that it's just incremental baby steps that is how you get to a dream,
yeah.
Right?
So yeah, or it can be that pathway. Sometimes you can go ba-boom.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Ooh, I want to know about that. So Wendy, will you tell us, just introduce yourself and tell us how you got into the business of dream making?
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm Wendy Bauman, and I'm President Chief Visionary Officer, because you have to have a cool title.
Oh, yes.
Of the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation. And actually, in early 2023, I have been at WBIC now in that position for 29 years. And then my follow-up line is, and I still look good. and I'm not bored yet. So yes, that's also part of, you know, really dreams and, you know, putting dreams into reality. And our tagline is putting dreams to work at WBIC. Yeah. But I took on this position 29 years ago, and really WBIC was a beautiful, just sort of like diamond in the rough. It was not quite 5 years old, but it had been through five executive directors.
Oh, wow.
So the board of directors was a little tired. And the individuals were fabulous over that period of time, but some were really good on the out, sort of, you know, speaking with mayors, maybe hustling money and so on, but maybe not as much of a strength in actually doing the work of WBIC, which is this quality training and then access to fair and responsible capital that we'll talk more about. And others were really good at, they were just great trainers. They really understood lending and was getting all that going, but you have to have resources, i.e. money. Without money, it's hard to do mission. So I, at the time, was director of small business development for Milwaukee Area Technical College. Great job. Reported to the dean, who I loved, at three offices, you know, just like fabulous, worked really hard, but great, great, great job. Housed at these two business incubators, North Side, South Side. And I loved WBIC. I would bring WBIC to the tenants and the incubator tenants, saying, this is a great source. We can do training through WBIC. You can get a small loan through WBIC. It's great. So the fifth person left and someone said, you know, you should do that. And you're going to laugh at this, but I go, you know what? I'm not sure woman is my thing. And they go, what? And I was really more at that time, and still am, not more, but still am, very entrenched in providing support to people of color and low income. That was, in some ways, those two legs were really strong legs. And women too, but like not as much. It was more about people of color. And that's part of life experiences and lower income. That's what I was going to dedicate my life to. And so I sort of looked, I go, huh. And then I casually tossed a resume in. Everybody got excited. I started getting excited. And then I really wanted that job. Mm-hmm. And interviewed. I remember Sue Marks, the serial entrepreneur, was chair of the board. And the funny story I share with her is she said, well, we're going to have you go to, you know, this psychiatrist or psychologist that's, you know, could do this interview. And I go, you're kidding, right? She goes, no. I go, okay. So I was really nervous about I thought, like, I'm going to lick the ice cream cone wrong. I'm going to swear. I'm going to say sex, something like that, right? And so I go and I take all these tests. And I even said to them in the closing interview, I said, oh, yeah, like, you're going to do Rorschach tests. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, and again, I'm going, don't say sex. Don't say something like that. So I did all of this stuff for 3/4 of a day. The report came back. Of course, they gave me a copy. And it basically said, she walks too fast, she talks too fast, she's above average intelligence, and she won't stay. Now, mind you, this is 29 years ago. So I just turned 60. So 29 years ago, I'm what, 31? So at that time, yeah, I wasn't, you know, crazy, but this job for 2.5 years, this job for 2.5 years, this job for actually 4.5 years. But there was some job movement, young professional going up, looking at something else. And so anyhow, when I see Sue Marks, I still say to her, I still walk too fast. I talk too fast. I'm hopefully still above average intelligence, but I did stay. So that's sort of how it began. WBIC at that time was, again, this beautiful organization, but it was tired. The WBIC didn't even have enough money to have their own offices. So the goodness of Julia Taylor, at the time, the executive director of the YWCA, then moved on to the Greater Milwaukee Committee, just retired last year. Mm-hmm. She was executive director of the Y, and she goes, come on, WBIC, come on over. So our offices, I called it the lower level, but our offices were in the basement. And I went from 3 offices really nice to an office that was really an old closet. So I was always glad that I wasn't a big person. So I'm the old closet, and in the corner was a slop sink. And the janitor would come in every single morning and go baloop, 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 baloop. And then he would wipe the whole place down, this old mansion on 28th and Wells, I think it was 28th and Highland, 20th and Highland.
Okay.
So anyhow, my goal was not to save the world. It was to raise enough money to get out of the basement. So that was really it. But then after the goal and a dream to get out of the basement, then it was to make the world a better place. So huge leaps and bounds. The first, again, lower level, a part-time receptionist. She like quit the day I got there. And I go, well, it can't be me. I convinced her to stay for a year. And we just slowly but surely grew. We grew our board of directors. We grew a lot of resources, and surely, but, you know, soon, I think it was a year or so, year and a half, we were out of the basement. We were in the Professional Dimensions Women's Business Incubator, you know, really getting some good support, bringing federal dollars on, local dollars on, even growing from a Milwaukee-based organization to an office in Madison. And, you know, kept sort of growing and then building, growing and building, growing and building infrastructure. And now we're a team of about 65 strong, 5 offices, Greater Milwaukee, Racine Kenosha, Appleton Green Bay, Madison, and newest La Crosse. Our loan portfolio, when I first came on, the loan portfolio was 12 loans. And I remember asking the board of directors, how are the loans doing? And they go, oh, yeah, you know, good, good. Well, they sort of fibbed. Because all those loans were a disaster. Some of them hadn't been paid on for months and months and months. So you just, you know, deal with what you got and you go. But 12 loans were on the books. The budget was $225,000. Now our operational budget's 8 or 9 million. We're holding 1,000 loans, portfolio of about 24 million. The offices, infrastructure, and really, you know, really helping thousands of people put their dreams to work.
Incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. What about that is dreamy for you personally?
One, I really didn't think I would stay for 29 years. And I sort of say tongue in cheek, I'm not bored yet, but I'm not. I still see possibilities. I still see infrastructure. I still see growing WBIC itself, but continuing to grow our industry. I mean, WBIC was one of the first. We were the first one, the first 6 women's business centers, one of the first 4 SBA microlenders, the first certified CDFI, and one of the first community development financial institutions in Wisconsin. Just have this big thing of being first. Sometimes it's actually better to be second and let some things work out on those first groups. But anyhow, you know, I think what's in me and what's in the culture of WBIC is that we're hungry and we're not, I say to many people, it wasn't about, like, the goal was not to build an empire. You know, it was really to address a need. And there's still more need out there. It could be bigger. It could be faster. It could be deeper within communities. It could be nuanced. And those are all the things that we constantly think about. You know, what else could we do? How else could we do it to just continue to do the good things, but also improve on things that we know we can? So our strategic plan this year, it's actually for a 3-year period. One of the pillars is organizational infrastructure. It's the non-sexiest thing. We're pouring, you know, not 100,000, but close to, into a loan conversion, making it easier for our team and compliance and reporting, but easier for our clients. A client portal, allowing people to go in and set up their own accounts and register 24/7, and just easier accessibility to such. Many things with our HR and professional development for our employees. So that's one. The second one is really aligned growth, not just growing for growing's sake, but aligned growth. What might that mean? The third is communications and marketing. While we think WBIC is well known in some areas, it could be further well known. And there's nuances with marketing. Marketing to women might look different than marketing to Black entrepreneurs. It might look different to marketing to veterans and veteran spouses, urban, rural, a lot of nuances. Mm-hmm. And so how do we really navigate that? We need some outside source to look at that. And then the fourth and probably my most important is to remain dedicated to where WBIC was started, which is serving individuals and people at great promise, but where there's been inequity and an unlevel playing field. And that still, unfortunately, remains women, people of color, specifically Black entrepreneurs and Black-owned businesses, lower wealth individuals, and then veterans and veteran spouses because of the work they've done and sort of being out of the traditional area. There's, again, that level setting that needs to take place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can I ask what sparked that value in you of supporting lower income and people of color?
Well, I have unbelievable parents. My mom just passed about almost 2 years ago, but unbelievable parents. So that is a big part of it. So we were always that way. My mom was, first of all, and that's probably part of my woman piece because I had such a strong women role model. I thought everybody's mom has her PhD. I thought everybody's mom had a Marshall Scholar and studied at the University of London. I thought everybody's mom would run for Congress. I thought everybody's mom would go on international missions around the world with Cy Vance and George Bush. So when I became an adult, I go, huh, that's not so much that way out there for women, is it? It really was a slap in the face because you know no other from sort of growing up and still just seeing those role models. I mean, a different career. I can't say more of a career than my dad, but a very different career. And so that was that. And then my dad, HR, but also an entrepreneur. So he owned restaurants, tea rooms, antique shops, all of that. Very much sort of WBIC clients, not like bringing tons of money back into the household, but not necessarily losing either. And so I grew up with this piece of academia and entrepreneurship. And that was a big part of, you know, really when you think about WBIC, it really is education. And that access to education, there was a great expression when I traveled to Africa that, you know, education is our shield. You know, it really is important. And my mom would always say, no one can take away your education. So that was instilled in me. And then my dad, just this monster entrepreneur. I mean, tonight we're going to a WBIC client for dinner. And, you know, he's just always, you know, tell me some of those new businesses. Tell me some. And this gentleman's 91. Okay. So still kicking and going and asking Love about it. Everything and commenting on things and probably my hardest and my best critic.
Yeah.
I would say the big part is that is really the parents and, you know, growing up with that. And then I became a parent and I have two adult daughters, two adult sons. And the other piece there was when they were young, I was only speaking Spanish to them, or Catalina, the first one, only speaking Spanish. My husband at the time was only speaking French. We thought they would just, you know, grow up trilingual, how great exposure. And then we found out that she was deaf. So when she was a year old, we found out she was deaf. So my oldest daughter's deaf. And then my oldest son is deaf, the other two here. But that was like, whoop, a whole different dimension in life too, that actually, I think, again, you know, really made me a stronger person and understanding different things and greater tolerance, more patience, all those things. So that, you know, again, it's really that personal life that can really fold in your career. A degree is a degree, a degree. I was planning on getting my MBA while I had, again, three kids. And then I'm just fighting school systems with these deaf kids. And I go, wait a minute. So instead I got a master's in education. Because then I could be a little bit more of a level playing field, sort of a positive way, arming myself with the shield of understanding,
right,
training and education. And I could talk then and dialogue more with teachers. And I could be also a better mom in that sense of how do people really learn.
Yeah.
Wow. Woof, I can't keep up with you, lady.
Well, and interesting to see how those the personal values then play out in what you bring to WBIC and the training and the importance of being able to speak the language and of business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of the things that WBIC offers. You mentioned the loans, but some of the other things.
Yeah, we're sort of two legs, and I'll go into those. So one is really that training, which is the one to the many. So our schedule for 2023, for example, started in January, goes all the way through December. It's online, no cost, low cost, pay what you can afford, very accessible. This year we're doing still a hybrid, but a lot of in-person. So before the health crisis and before the economic crisis, WBIC served 5,000 plus clients, and about 90% were in-person. Our people came evenings and weekends to learn how to start, grow, expand a business. And so we had to flip that on the dime like the world had to. Mm-hmm. And now this year, we're really going back to hybrid and some really in-person. And we have very healthy results already, just huge numbers of people coming, which is great. So the training piece is light bulb over your head, and I'm thinking of starting a business. So there's sort of filter classes. Are you an entrepreneur? You know, is this business idea viable? Let's walk through this before you maybe jump all the way, or is the timing right now? And then it's heavy duty sort of bread and butter. Business planning, you know, marketing on a shoestring, QuickBooks training, all for those sort of starting businesses or early business stage. And then about a fourth of our work is really for expansion, acceleration, you know, maybe going a little bit deeper dive, maybe revisiting some things that you sort of should have done. And now you're running a, you know, $500,000 company, but hello, you don't have a business plan. And, you know, are you really utilizing your financials to grow and as a marketing tool and a strategy tool? So those, again, are the one to the many in all of our markets. A lot is in the evenings and on the weekends, sometimes some noon things, because many entrepreneurs have to be at their business. And many people starting a business, you know, might be working that first shift, that, you know, 9 to 5. And so they can't take off work to go. So we accommodate our clients there. And we see, you know, last year saw about 5,400 unduplicated clients through that training, which was great. And then the other part is one-on-one. A lot of one-on-one work. We really try to get you in the training because for us, it just helps us out. You know, rather than talking to 20 people separately on a business plan, we put them all in a class and take the business plan class and then talk a little bit. But a lot of one-on-one support, and that's with office staff members in the field, some volunteers. And then the access to capital piece. Again, our loans started out way back 30-some years ago, up to 10,000. Now went up to 25, 35, 100, 250. And now last year, we can go up to 350. So 1,000 to 350,000. However, the vast majority of our loans are under 100,000. Average loan size is about 40,000. So we are really, truly a very much of a micro lender at heart. But there are some businesses that need that full amount, or there are businesses that have bank participation, but the bank still doesn't want to do that working capital, some of that equipment or what have you. So we do some participation loans. But most of our loans are standalone, meaning only WBIC is the lender. Then the different model is that one, how we make our decisions. We do look at everything that the bank looks at. But banks generally can't look past a credit score of a certain number. Banks generally can't look past the credit history. They can't look past bankruptcies. They are hard to really do startups unless, you know, you have the house, you have all this collateral, you know, you have that. Banks really do not like startups. And so, and then it's also the use of the funds. Banks are generally not into working capital, inventory, you know, fixture improvement, build out. And that's where a lot of WBIC's money goes. 65-70% of our loans are startups. The use of the funds are inventory and working capital. We totally look past bankruptcies. We want to understand the bankruptcy. Was it just because you're fooling around and buying cars and boats and ships and planes? Or was it because somebody got sick in the family, a divorce, stuff happened? And then also credit scores. We really don't have a minimum credit score. And if it is really low, we want to understand the why. And we also would like to see that there's a little bit of understanding, or at least willingness of understanding, to see that that credit score would go up, or there's some behaviors you didn't know about, things like that.
Sure.
So that's sort of on the lending side. So it's really good money and it's accessible money. And we do need you to, you know, fill things out and give us a sense of, you know, sort of the story part, the business plan, and then the number part, which is the part that goes along with the story and that has to make sense. And if it makes sense, we do the loan.
Wow. So how many active loans?
It's actually over 1,000 loans, but probably 650 distinct businesses, because a couple have a couple loans.
Okay.
So really,
okay.
A portfolio of 650 distinct businesses. And also with our loans, unlike a lot of banks, our loans churn very quickly, because individuals only need the loan for 3 years or 4 years, or we take the edge off. We sort of incubate that business and that loan, and the banks pick it up. And we want them to go to the banks. It's going to be a lower interest rate. They've sort of graduated. WBIC will still support you and care about you. Now you've paid back that loan, and in essence, we can lend it to somebody else who needs that help along the ladder and moving along.
Yeah. In the last season, we interviewed Chloe Longmire, who of Chase My Creations, and she talked about just needing money for inventory, like the amount of inventory she needs to be able to do markets.
Right.
Required that she had money up front.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like the importance of, and that's not a, for her, probably not a huge loan, but $5,000 goes a, I mean, that's hard to come by when you're a
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And something else talking about programs. So that's the essence of WIPIC is sort of that training, that one-on-one and the other one. And then some nuances specifically in the Milwaukee market. And I'm glad you bring that up. That's actually statewide, but we also really embrace Kiva, which is a started in the developing world. Actually, we had Jessica Jakeley was one of the co-founders of Kiva, along with the co-founder of PayPal. We had Jessica Jakeley at a WIPIC luncheon a few years ago. So Kiva are crowdsourced loans, and they're loans for small businesses. So using crowdsourcing, but not like a GoFundMe campaign where you get, you know, t-shirts or what have you. So we as citizens of the world can lend via PayPal or credit card $25 to someone to start a business. So we've done hundreds and hundreds of these now, millions of dollars in Wisconsin. And so it's 0% crowdsource up to $15,000. So someone like that, we could have given her a WIBIC loan, but she would have been just prime for a Kiva loan. Mind you, you have to put yourself out there a little bit. They do not do the deeper dive that we do, but it really is beautiful that people, you know, all around the world are lending to your business and businesses here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And it's great.
Yeah.
And a lot of the loans get funded in 48 hours. They go up there, they tell their story.
Wow.
And it's
I did not know that. I when I hear Kiva, I do think of, like, you know, sort of African women wanting to build a well or something. You know, that's where my head goes. But I didn't know that you could do that locally.
We've been doing Kiva for about 8 years in Wisconsin. We started out, and actually Milwaukee was the 11th Kiva city in the nation. And then we really have sort of a person handling Greater Milwaukee, a Kiva person handling Madison, West Allis, and now a sort of Racine and Kenosha area. So for the most part, they're WIPIC employees, but they are carrying the water of Kiva, this crowdsourcing. But what we do then is we also sell WIPIC products, if you will. So we get this Kiva loan, 0%, $10,000. But how about still going to a class? Or might you then, after you finish that, need a complimentary loan now of $20,000 to move down? So you can see it really, really fits with us. So we sort of wholesale, showcase, and advance Kiva. And actually, I was really proud last year, 2022, 10%, I think 10 or 11% of all the Kiva loans in the United States were Wisconsin.
Wow. That's awesome.
So that was awesome. So Kiva, we also have a great business program. PNC is our foundational sponsor for it. It's called Black Business Boost, and it is Greater Milwaukee centered. And so for Black entrepreneurs or Black businesses, we add even additional support from WIPIC. So we might tuition or cover the cost of an accelerator or a training class or cover the cost of that for WIPIC. We can possibly pay for co-working space or an incubation space to just get you started, sort of, again, this boost. We will come in with a small amount of actual equity into a WIPIC loan, because while we don't have any hard rules, we do like to see people bring a little bit of money to the table to get a loan from WIPIC, a little bit of skin in the game, that working capital, what have you, to get going. And so here we can give the boost of an actual equity injection from this pool of funds for Black Business Boost. The fourth, and this is something that a lot of people don't often put with entrepreneurship, but it's that understanding of financial literacy, financial empowerment, the understanding really of money. Got some bad credit scores or lower credit scores. They got some ugly high cost debt. So we pay third party to work with that entrepreneur to help them navigate out of that personal credit issues. We can't lend to paying down that kind of debt overall. Sometimes we can as part of a package, but you also, there's also understanding and learning in that. I mean, you know, you've got kids, how many times did they bounce their accounts? So, you know, we have to go in the hard way and say, hey, you do this again, I'm not paying the $20 or $30 overcharge, you know? So you have to learn. And if someone's not there to teach you. So that's another program, Black Business Boost. We also have a great program for veterans and veteran spouses through our Veteran Business Outreach Centers. We have a loan fund with lower interest. And then we have two programs, Boots to Business and Boots to Business Reboot, where it's a day or 2 days, no cost, entrepreneurial training, really helping you get started in business. So that's another program. And then we're part of numerous collaboratives. One specifically is Brew City Match, which is now going to take its sort of second or third renovation. And it's working with corridors in Milwaukee to really sort of help with some of those gaps and those empty, you know, teeth holes to see if we can get some new entrepreneurs with supportive services into those corridors. And again, just sort of make the world a better place. And that's in collaboration with some other CDFIs and corridors. Do they need training? Do they need some equity in there? Do they need money and help with a build out that the business improvement district could play for? So just again, embracing some of the businesses, tall, short, big or little, along targeted corridors, more in the heart of Milwaukee. So those are some specifically Milwaukee ones.
Wow, there's just I'm sitting here thinking how there's so many resources available for people that make it seems like there's this, you know, like the support needed to make things really succeed and thrive. And I'm curious, what have you seen get in the way of that for people?
Well, one, that's why I always jump in doing opportunities like this, because really it's that there are Wisconsin, I can speak to it specifically, traveled enough in other places, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, we are rich. Also many good resources to help start a business or grow a business and other things too. So we're rich. The part is, it's the disconnect that people don't know about it.
Yeah.
So even this, like, oh my gosh, I didn't really know that. I'll tell my neighbor. I'll tell my friend. I mean, both 70% of the U.S. population are thinking about starting a business at some point. So one of the issues is really marketing. And that's why it's part of our strategic plan. How can we even do a better job marketing and communications, you know, with individuals? And again, not everybody reads a business journal. Not everybody reads a Journal Sentinel. And also you would need gazillion dollars to put ads in there to do that. You know, we don't have those kind of funds. So we have to do dropping material at Head Start programs, at job centers, at mayor's offices, within the community, say like, oh my gosh, and here's our WIPIC schedule. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I want to start a business. Let me pick this up. This is interesting. Giving it to the sister, brother, what have you, who wants to start the business. So we print thousands of these and drop them off all over our markets. We child labor, we have our kids go out and drop them off there, you know. but we're still big paper pushers. Yeah, social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of that. But also not everybody does that. So you have to do it right away. So one of the biggest gaps is just connecting the great resources with somebody at that point in time who's thinking of starting a business or growing a business.
Yeah.
The other to me is sort of that hope and opportunity. Some people, and you've mentioned this before about dreams, they don't think they can. So we have to constantly, again, show these beautiful people and sell our work through this story. She could. She grew up in public housing. She went through a program. Financial capability. She saved some money. She was able then to buy a home and then she started a business. Yes, you can. Because if people think that they can't, they won't. But if they think they can, they might. And then it's to provide them support along that way. So I would say that's the second big thing. And, you know, and then again, really, the success is if people, you know, use their ears more than their mouth and really listen. I'm not saying everything we say at WIPIC is sound, but to really think about some of these things. We have seen gazillion entrepreneurs, you know, and the secret of it is to have a plan, the words, what's the vision, what's the plan, who, what, where, when, why. And to have that number plan that goes along with it. So it's realistic. So you're not putting your house in danger. You're going to be able to support your family still. And if it doesn't work out, you also have sort of that exit strategy. But the biggest part there is having a marketing plan and a market niche. No, not everybody is going to buy your chocolates. No. You know, who's going to buy the chocolate? Who's going to buy your plumbing services? So you have to niche your market and then you have to use your financials as a management tool. So, you know, I use like great example here. Say that you felt you were going to be 80% retail and 20% wholesale, and you look at your first quarter and it's reverse. Well, obviously that has a big impact on your financials because on retail, you're going to make a larger margin. On wholesale, you're not. So if that's what happens, you're going to be down the path of really not being able to cash flow unless you adjust something or look at it. Maybe that's okay, but then you're going to have to adjust your financials and your book of accounts. And most entrepreneurs are the glasses, not only half filled, their glasses brimming over. And so you have to just bring them back a little bit to say, let's really look at this. And that's the difference also with WIPIC, is that all of those 650 distinct businesses have somebody at WIPIC, a staff member that we pay for, that's called a small business consultant. So they have a portfolio of loans and they meet at least one time a year, eyeball to eyeball with that entrepreneur, but will help them really as much as they want to. Some are very high touch and really want to receive that information. Some are a little bit lower touch, but still could use a benefit from this and a benefit from that. So we touch them all monthly through sort of our, you know, payment schedules. We still sort of send things out to them. Your loan is $20,000. Now you owe us $18,000. Even those electronic funds transfer, we still do that, give them a little bit of love in that envelope, and then have a person that they can go to when they're in trouble. And when we close a loan, we try to say, come to us. Don't take that ugly piece of paper from the friendly IRS and put it at the bottom of the pile and don't do anything for 6 months because you know what? It's not going to go away. And then it's going to be harder to address that IRS issue. So come to us with the good, the bad, and the ugly, and maybe we can help and provide some guidance.
You know, something you said there, I'm thinking about, I am a person who loves to dream. Like I love, like I have 8 billion ideas all the time about things that need to be fixed or whatever. And then you say, okay, so what's your financial plan for that? Like, oh crap. And like, yeah, you know, the balloon deflates. And one way I like to think about it, and that I think can be helpful for folks, is like, what are you willing to do in order to see that through, you know? And so like, are you willing to talk finances? Are you willing to learn a little bit? Are you willing to challenge some of the assumptions you have about how the banking world works, or, you know, whatever it is? What are you willing to do to move to the next step? And so
No, that really is it. That really is the center of it. It is. And I, you know, a lot of times people say like, got so frustrated with you made me put together, you know, this cash flow, you know, they'll say that. Like, I remember this one woman, pretty sophisticated. And she said in front of all these people, the governor's residence, the governor included, like 10 years ago, and Wivick made me put together this. And I'm going like, oh, I'm dying on stage, you know, here. And she goes, and I'm so glad they did. That had made all the difference in this business being successful. You know, sort of like the business doctor, right? You really got to do this if you want this elbow to get better, or otherwise, never going to get better.
What's the secret sauce of helping people like get over that hurdle?
It has to be their idea, especially with entrepreneurs. So what we do is, if you even look at a business plan, if you know what you're doing, our team overall knows what they're doing, right? You look at a business plan, you go, you know, it's they have no sense of their marketing plan. They really know their cost of goods. They really know their process here. We can see that they can manufacture this right or make it right. No idea on marketing, no idea. So we would like to just cut to the chase and go to that entrepreneur. Okay, your marketing sucks. This isn't going to work. Are you kidding me? What are you thinking? That's not going to work with people in general. But it's also not going to work with entrepreneurs. Okay. So we teach everybody how to do the dance. So you go, yeah. What keeps you up at night about this whole plan? You know, you have to get it out of them. And generally you can, they'll go, well, no, I feel really good about my numbers. You know, my dad's an accountant and I went over there. I feel really good about the numbers. And, you know, I know my products, my supply chain. I got it. But, you know, I'm not sure really about the marketing part. Woo! They open up, then we can go in, but they have to open up. They have to say it. And then you say nicely, well, would you like some support in that area? And if they invite you in, you're there. But if you blow that door down, it's never going to work. It's unlikely. So that's sort of that secret part. That's really a secret sauce. And the other thing is developing relationships. You know, that's why I just love being back. I mean, we did a really great job during the time of, you know, COVID and so on, and safety of our people. But, you know, our philosophy was, we're better together, safety and flexibility. But it is nothing like being across the table with someone and really, you know, feeling their stuff. They didn't want to not make this work. They didn't want to worry about not paying the WIBIC loan and not having enough money for themselves and their family. So, you know, you really have to have that empathy, and you have to have that understanding and say, okay, let's see what we can do here. Let's see what we can do. This is what WIBIC can do. We can modify the note for a while. If we do that, get some more marketing support, and, you know, grandma comes in and cooks for a little bit to take that edge off, do you think we could get there? So you have to help them with that plan. But I mean, that's life. It's all about communication.
I was gonna say, right? Yeah. I feel like, yeah. Marriage 101.
I was just going to say, I feel like I just got some parenting advice there in all of that.
Yeah, no, this is my other one that we do too, is if you can't quite do that, you know, they go like, no, nothing really keeps me up at night. Or, you know, I think I got everything, you know, good. I'm really good. I'm good. But, you know, there's something that you feel that you'd like to see. The other one is you ask permission. And this does work with partners, spouses, children, friends. And you say, may I comment? And 99.9% the person will say, no, please comment. So at least you're being invited in to comment. And that also makes a big difference, as opposed to saying like, you got to do this. Are you know, kind of thing. It's a life use. It really works. I comment?
Yeah. Love it. So if we have listeners who have made it this far and are interested, have a nugget of an idea, just the little scratching of the surface that they've been noodling on, what would be the first thing that they should look at in terms of your offerings? They're not quite ready for a loan yet, but you know.
I would say go to our website and even if you decide, I don't really want to take a class or something, we have a fabulous portal that has small little vignettes. Fill out a piece of paper. We got information. We give you the secret code to the portal, but no cost. And it has vignettes, hundreds of vignettes in English and Spanish. You know, thinking about marketing, how am I looking at my cash? How do I do this? They're 5 minutes to 20 minutes long. So that'd be an example. So, you know, 24/7, you could go and just get yourself, you know, education. Like, no, I really sort of do need a business plan. Well, we got business plan outlines, you know, on our website. So our website's decent. It's in English and Spanish. It's accessible. It's got templates. It's got information. It's got links. It shares things. We try to promote other things going on with aligned partners that we think are good. So the website's good. I still think some training is really helpful. It just gets the juices going and ideas going. You get to meet other entrepreneurs that might be at your same stage. And magic really happens. I mean, nobody leaves a WBIC training class without sort of being, you know, upbeat, you know, have a cup of coffee with us. You know, we have snacks and stuff in the evening. So I think the training is really good. But I would say the biggest part is really that education piece. And then again, if you do need the capital, it's something to begin to look at. What does that look like? Maybe you can get bank financing and we'll help you with that. We'll say these five banks really do specialize in some of the startups and in some of the smaller loans. You know, you're not going to go to X Bank that might be, you know, more of a bank for the rich and famous. It's just a different kind of bank. So even guide people with that.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, listeners, you heard it here.
Yeah. And I, from my experience, Wendy, with the class that I took, it was like in 2017, probably. And the thing I remember about it was both being overwhelmed by like making my dream, you know, like, oh, this is going to take more work than I want it to. Right. But it was the inspiration of all the other people in that room coming after their long days of work to talk about their idea for their own small business. I was just so struck at how inspiring people are. And there's something about that that feeds ideas or feeds
momentum. You're not alone. You're not in the bedroom. Yeah, you're not in the bedroom in your house by yourself. There's somebody else there. And sometimes it just a tear goes. Sometimes I don't need any gas in the car going home because it'll be 1,000 degrees below zero. It's totally blackout. We happen to have a training and a class at our WBIC offices. There's 35 people in that room. I'm going, this is beautiful. I'll get up and do it.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yeah. So beautiful. Love it. Love
cool. Well, we have a couple of closing questions for you. The first is, and this might sound like three questions, so you can take any part of it that feels like it's that it lights a spark in you. So what's one piece of advice you would give a woman who has a dream, but who's feeling either stuck, stagnant, or unsure of where to start?
I would probably say, just begin to put something down on paper. Just begin to sort of throw something down on paper, you know, even the plus column, the minus column, begin to just sort of throw that idea. And it also says, my degree's in psychology, says something happens when you put it on paper, computer screen, what have you. But just begin to get it down. Okay, like, yeah, no, this is a cool idea. I'd be really good at this part. I think this is a little bit of a niche. I think people would want this or need this. I think there's not too many people in this whole area. The downside, do I really know how to do this, this or that? But just begin. I bet you'll have more pluses. But just to begin to throw that down, even your challenges. Because even by addressing your challenges, okay, what's the worst thing in the world? Well, I could go back to nursing because I'm a nurse. Yeah. Or, well, you get an extra job and still make ends meet for my family. I mean, you know, so you look at the risk factors too. So I would say sort of begin to publish it. Talk to the other people about it. People love to talk about it. So say you want to start a bakery. Walk into that bakery, find that owner that's there at 3:30 in the morning, every single morning, 5 or 6 days a week, doing the bakery, and talk with them. They love to talk about, people love to talk about what they do. So just begin to explore that way and open it up. And maybe then it becomes like, yeah, I really think this could be it. Or you know what? I don't think the timing's right on this right now. I don't think with myself or where I'm at, I want to do this quite yet. I know at some point I do, but not quite yet. And we do get a lot of that. We get people that come to a class and then 5 years later, decide to open up the business because the timing is right then.
Yes. Well, and you said you've been there for 29 years. You've been following people's dreams, listening to people's dreams, watching people's dreams come to fruition. Is there a woman in Milwaukee right now that we should be paying attention to who you see her dreams, either maybe she's just getting started, maybe she's not, maybe there's nothing even out there yet, but we should keep her on our radar.
Yeah, I would have to get back to you on that too, on some, but you know, really many, 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 many. So let me get back to you on that, because mm-hmm. there's just beautiful, beautiful stories of some of these businesses. And, you know, I think the ones that are really a little bit more hidden might be some of our Kiva loans that, again, are majority mm-hmm. are women, people of color, lower wealth that need something to get started. And they have this great little business that, you know, ends up going somewhere. It's just beautiful and small. Not everybody wants to be a gazelle business. So I could get back to you on some of those, you know, the ones that stand out. You already had Lovely Jessie. I mean, that's just one of my favorite stories that I love to shell. Sid Ladley, who owns Antigua Latin Cafe, is another just lovely story. You know, grew up getting off the bus to her dad's restaurant. And, you know, decades later, her daughter got off the bus and goes into her mom's and does the homework at the bar of her restaurant. Oh, and, cool. you know, not all a smooth path. I think yeah. that's something else that people think. You think like, oh my God, look at Sid Ladley. You know, she has the catering business. She's got this business. She's doing this. She does the empanadas on the side. Lots of hard work and lots of zigzags. Not everything was smooth. You know, that all goes, that all goes. So those are a couple that jump, but I can even put together a list for you too that I think, you know, might be really interesting and inspiring.
Yeah, that'd be great. We can share that. And
you can search Kiva's site by location, correct? To look for specific people in West Wisconsin, or is it as specific as Milwaukee?
I think you can do Milwaukee, but I'm not positive on it, but for sure you can do Wisconsin. Yeah. And they're not also to listeners. There's not 100% of the time a loan there that is ready to be funded. We did, I think last year, how many Kiva loans did we did? I think we did 120 some Kiva loans, 700 and almost 800,000. Again, you know, a lot of itty bitty little loans, but most of the loans that do go public and are out there for individuals to lend to. And again, you're lending to it via PayPal. And in theory, you're going to get your money back, but you're lending at 0% interest. But generally, there's handfuls of loans on there that you can go. And then if not a Wisconsin business, there might be somewhere else in the United States. You can also look at loans. I just really want to fund women-owned loans. I want to fund loans that are in flower businesses, because I had a flower business. I'd like to support mm-hmm. them. So there's different filters that Kiva does, too, which is pretty great. I'm on the National Kiva Advisory Board. I love Kiva. I always tease that when I retire, I'm going to go set up Kiva in Spain. But you gotta put your dream out there. Gotta put
your
new president of Kiva. I took a meeting with him 2 weeks ago and of course told him what to do, you know, as I have this way of sharing. But I said, may I comment to start? And after I said, may I comment, he said, thank you very much, Wendy. And that 15-minute meeting went to 40 minutes, which I appreciate. And then I told him, yeah, you know, when I finish with Wibic, then I'm gonna work for you at Kiva, but I'm gonna be able to do it in Spain. And he goes, we're always looking for good people, Wendy.
Love it. Oh, that's a great story. Yes, you heard it here first. She'll be in Spain, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Kiva would be great in Europe. Actually, Europe needs more microlenders. Hmm. It's not so much in their way.
Interesting.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. Not sure I have it in me, but maybe I do to at least begin that.
Beautiful.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. This has been a lovely conversation, and I'm sure it's going to be inspiring for our listeners who will go check out. And let's just say the website one more time.
Yeah, www.bic.com. Okay. www.wwbic.com. And I think it's a pretty accessible website. We really try to work it at. There's videos on there, information, like I said, good links. You can also look at and call any of our offices. Okay. I mean, we are open for business, and somebody is at our offices Monday through Fridays, 8:30 until 5, with all of our offices statewide.
Great. And are you on the socials? Are you on Instagram or Facebook? Or are they just your website?
You know, I'm so terrible. It's like I ask people, no, take me out for coffee or martini. But yes, we are. So I know we're on Facebook. I know we're on LinkedIn. I'm not sure about Instagram, but all of those things, yes.
Okay. And we will put those links in our show notes for this episode as well. So great. Be sure we get those.
Awesome.
Good. Well, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for making dreams happen and keeping women in business.
And for loving on our city, you know, it's really just beautiful to see people investing in Milwaukee. Oh, man, this episode, there's just so many gems of knowledge here for anybody who has a dream out there. There's something in this episode for you to learn from or to explore.
Yeah. And if you've been noodling on an idea, the resources are there. That's what I love about this episode and about all these dream makers in Milwaukee is that people want to help. There are places to turn to when you have a dream and you just need that nudge or you just need that little bit of oomph to get going, right? Right there. It's right here. So no excuses, people.
Yep. And hey, if you want to share your idea with somebody, like Wendy suggests, write us an email. Tell us what your dream is.
Yes.
We want to know. We love talking to people about the dreams. If you haven't
yes,
noticed.
Yes. Maybe we could feature Ooh. You. We would love. Wouldn't that be fun to follow somebody from like the nugget or the seed of a dream to its fruition? I would love that. So yes, listeners, be in touch with yes. us.
And the other thing I'd say at the end of this episode is, listeners, who in your life needs to hear this episode? And will you forward it on to them? You know, so somebody that you've been listening to about their dream and you're a little like, you know what? It's time to get on with it. Send them this episode. See what's in it for them.
Yes. Let this be the kick in the pants that they need, that you need. All right. Well, tune in next week when we bring another dream maker in Milwaukee to inspire us, inspire you, inspire our listeners to get out there and live the dream.
I feel like we're going to need a new closing catchphrase this season.
I know.
Dream
Let's
maker,
see.
Heartbreaker. Is that it? No.
I don't think so.
Making our dreams come true.
Oh, yes. Rest in peace.
Oh, Cindy Williams.
Cindy Williams.
All right. Making our dreams come true, people. So until next time, make somebody's dream come true.
Keep on dreaming.
We haven't got it. What is it? What is it?
No. Well, I don't think we need to change it. I think we can just say,
keep on dreaming.
That's what we want people to keep doing, right? Keep on dreaming. In the Cream City.
Okie dokie, listeners. We have a special call to action for you today.
Nothing to do with Cream City Dreams podcast, except it has to do with one of our previous guests.
One of our first guests, Ashley Valentine over at Rooted, put out a call to action for all Milwaukeeans who love books and who love racial equity and who want to support small business. She needs some support, people.
She needs some support. So what can you do to help her? Check out the post, which we'll put in our show notes, where she asks for some help, and think about what you can do to support. Buy some books.
Volunteer your time. Donate. Buy merch.
All the things. Help her out. RootedMKE.com.
Meet you on Delete.
Meet you on Delete. It's so worth your time.
Go, Ashley. We're rooting for you. Oh, rooting
Go,
for
Ashley.
You. Ah, didn't even try that.